from actually knowing you and to know, like, come from Hillsborough, come from Hunter's Lane. We know the same people. We practically grew up in the same, like, friend group.
Yes.
And I want to say I'm so proud of you because you are actually out here doing your thing.
Thank you. Like, I appreciate it.
Please tell us how you even got started. What made you want to, you know?
Yeah, so to be completely honest, like, I mean, I know everything that I'm doing now is more so targeted and geared towards moms. However, what a lot of people don't know is that I went to school in Memphis, Illinois College. I was there for a little over 2 years. And while I was there, I had this mindset of wanting to put events and stuff like that together. But at that time, I wanted it to be for everybody, where it could be male, female, whatever. And I think that that's what a lot of people in general struggle with when it comes to starting a business or creating a platform or being an influencer, is that you want to try to create a platform and be an influencer for everybody, but you have to have a target market. And so that's something that I lacked at the time. I hosted an event down there, and it was like, I mean, for me to put on the very first event, I felt like it was pretty decent. However, as far as like ticket sales and people actually showing up and things of that nature, it was a complete flop. But fast forward to December of 2019, I had randomly posted like a post on social media on Instagram, and I was just pretty much talking about how, you know, this one stream of income is not going to be enough for me. Like, right. I mean, I enjoy my job. You know, I love what I do. At the time, I was actually working at a major rental car company. But it got to a point where it's like, okay, this is cool, but now I want to do something that, you know, I'm putting together, I'm fueling. I want multiple streams of income. And a friend hit me up and was like, hey, like, he pretty much, I'm not going to say that he was the foundation of everything I'm doing, but he pretty much encouraged me. He's like, hey, like, take a look at yourself. Like, sometimes you got to do a stand in the mirror and do like a self-reflection or check on yourself. It's just like, you just bought a house, you're working out, you are a single mother, like, you're doing A, B, C, and D. He was like, so why not, you know, talk to moms? Why not create a space for mothers and allow that to be a target market? Him and I having this conversation, he not even having a clue that years ago, I was already trying to do what he was encouraging me to do, but I didn't realize that, hey, like, yeah, you are somewhat of an influencer. And so honestly, even now, like, I say that I'm influenced, but in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, am I truly, like, am I doing what I need to do to take the necessary steps to get to where I want to be? And so I say all that to just say that, like, again, it's important to have that target market. And once I realized that, I just started just like, okay, let me just start working. Let me get creative. And the pandemic happened. I'm like, boom, now this is another issue. So how do I continue to stay relevant in the midst of all of that? So ultimately, I mean, how did I get started with my millennials? It was just a matter of me realizing that it was necessary to have a target market, and then God just kind of placing bits and pieces into my life, people, you know, events and circumstances and things like that to kind of get me to a place where, like, hey, I will grant you, and this is God, I will grant you the opportunity to do what it is that you want to do, but you need to pay attention and be able to cater and, you know, focus on a particular group, because it'll never be successful without that. You can't be trying to talk to everybody. Everybody ain't gonna listen. Fact. So everybody's not gonna be tuned in. Fact.
That is definitely true.
I feel like you did a great job just actually taking the time out to like strategize during the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Pandemic taught a lot of people either it's the hustle's in you or it's not in you.
I agree.
And I like it to actually see your growth. You actually hosted an event with ladies. You had a female chef, I think it was Antonia, who cooked at your event. Shout out to her. Like, that was, I think that was her first exposure as well. You're putting moms in a, like, a predicament to where they can grow.
And yeah,
so it's like a, when it's all said and done, it's just a networking experience. And it I'm so proud of you. Black and you're doing a damn thing.
Yeah. And we need that for Nashville.
yes.
Nashville definitely is in the need of Black motherhood being showcased. Because when we think of Nashville, you know, everybody I know from back home, when they think of Nashville, they honestly think of Nashville white. They don't they don't see the history of actually Nashville.
They call
it a white Atlanta. Atlanta. When we think of Black, we think of Memphis.
But
we forget how much history Nashville has, just as much as
Memphis. Goes to, like, you know, people referring to Nashville is, you know, what?
The music city.
Yeah, but little do you know, come on, Fisk. Like, we did that. So, So, Nashville being Music City USA, however y'all want to call it, like, yeah, country music is very huge here. But, however, let's do the underlying factor that music in Nashville would not be what it is without Fitz Julie Secrets. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm just using it as an example. There is more to Nashville. And it's not taking away, you know, our, you know, the other individuals and ethnicities within Nashville. But Black people got more to offer. And it needs to be recognized. So,
so you have an event that's coming up. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, like, what this event is, when it is?
Yeah.
The date, all of that.
So, before diving right off into that, I want to point out the fact that there, I've actually thrown quite a few mommy events.
Okay, come on.
And prior to the pandemic, last January, as a matter of fact, I had just randomly, actually it was a girl that was had saw me at like this house party. She was like, hey, I've been seeing what you've been posting, this, that, and the third about different mommy things that you want to do. You should do an event. And I was like, you know what? I think that's dope. So literally the next day, on my son's birthday, I had created a flyer and I had booked a spot at City Fire, which is now closed, one of my favorite brunch spots.
Oh my gosh, I just realized that too.
Yeah. And so I posted a flyer. I called them. I was like, hey, I'm booking a table for 15 people. It needs to be available for me at this time on this day. And they're like, okay, put a card on file. I was like, dude, I'm putting a card on file. I don't even know if 15 people are going to show up, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I did that. I just had faith, posted this flyer, just telling moms. It wasn't even a particular topic. These days now when I'm doing my events, again, being more structured, I'll put a topic or some sort of category, something we're going to talk about. With this one, it was just like, hey, if you're a mama, if you own a business, if you're in corporate America, if you want to come to cry, you want to come to eat, you want to come and, you know, sip on mimosas, pull up. And again, I just said I did 15, I had booked it for 15 people. 20 moms ended up showing up.
Oh my God.
For me, that was proof that it was necessary what I was doing. And only two of those individuals out of those 20 moms that showed up were people that I knew personally. Mm-hmm. The other 18 were individuals that just randomly saw my post and showed up. So the mere fact that they didn't know me, that goes to show how much, you know, I mean, again, I love my friends and family, but I get more support from people that don't know me than I do from people that do.
Okay.
And that's just, like I said, that was my first event. And then last February, I did a Sip and Paint where the moms, they pretty much paid a percentage, they paid for their ticket, and it was an opportunity for me to showcase a Sip and Paint business that was owned by mothers, and it was like, hey, look, I'm going to bring you the moms, you bring the paint, the canvas, and the paintbrushes, and all the stuff that's necessary or whatever, just give me a percentage of the sales, that's it. Because ultimately my goal, again, is to, one, bring moms out to have a good time and network, but two, showcase a mommy business. And then the pandemic happened. So at that point, I'm having to get creative in the midst of a pandemic. It's like, okay, boom, how can I continue to connect and reach out to moms? So that's when I started doing my, and I consider these events too, even though they're virtual, every Thursday, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, my mom Lydia's virtual happy hour on IG Live. So fast forwarding to when outside slowly started to open back up, I'm like, okay, what's next? So that leads me to Mommies and Mimosas, which I did in August, and I'm now getting ready to do May 2nd. Mommies and Mimosas is pretty much a brunch and panel discussion where myself and four other selected moms that are doing great things within the Nashville community, we come together and talk about all things motherhood. The one I did in October, the topic was finding your purpose in the midst of motherhood. So it's pretty much saying that, like, yes, I'm a mom, however I own a business, or, you know, however I'm still going to walk across that stage to graduate college. So it's just a midst of finding your purpose. And the one on May 2nd, the category or topic for that one is Mom, Master of Multitasking. Mm-hmm. So tickets are on sale right now on Eventbrite. You can actually obviously click on my link in bio. I'll give y'all all of my Instagram information in a little bit. So myself and four other mothers, your brunch is included, catered by Zoe's Kitchen, which is a really known catering business here in Nashville. Literally, it's in the month of May, so I gotta go big or go home. Like, this one has to be bigger than the last one.
Shout out to my friend Malia, she's actually on your panel for that.
Mm-hmm. So Malia Irving
will be there.
She's on the panel. Lakia Collins, who is the wife of the head coach at TSU, is on the panel. And then Chrissy Noel, she's actually from Miami and has recently moved to Nashville and has created a platform for herself here. And then, of course, then you also have Miss Kim Bell, mm-hmm. who is the owner of Rock the Bells.
Event center.
Yes.
Yeah.
She does women empowerment events all the time, and I had to have her on the panel. Now, granted, no, she's not a millennial mother, but I'm strategic again about my events.
Right.
Myself and the other moms that I just communicated to you guys are all millennial mothers. However, even though she's the next generation above us, she can always shed wisdom into us. So that's why any panel that I do for Mommies and Mimosas is always going to include both millennials and a mother that's a little bit older than us that can be like, hey, I like what you're doing, but it's going to help us to kind of bridge that gap between generations within motherhood.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for telling us about the event. Make sure you guys get you some tickets. Welcome back to Mommies Are Us podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Robin. And this is
La Mama Mia.
And I am Sansia Noel, Nashville's mommy influencer.
All right. So, actually, now that you said that you are a mommy influencer, one of my questions is, why did you become a mommy influencer and what is that?
Yes. So, for me, it wasn't even me wanting to be a mommy influencer, but it's so funny because it's like every day, at least for the last like month and a half, and then even prior to that, occasionally, I would get up and post like videos of me working out, or I would post videos of different meals that I would randomly cook just to give people ideas. And then, you know, I also do the lives that I do every Thursday. And it got to a point to where even today, actually, people would just reach out to me and like, hey, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? And what you're doing is already influential, and the word influence just always comes up in a conversation. So again, it wasn't necessarily that I wanted to, but it just, I was doing it, so why not put that title on there? I feel like a lot of times we as human beings, not even just as moms, we're already walking in our purpose, but we just don't want to accept it. Just because maybe we want to be doing it this way, but you know, the man upstairs has other plans. And I think that that's literally what I was doing, was not owning up to the fact that, hey, you may not want to accept the fact that you're an influencer, but that's what you are, and it's positive, so why not embrace that name? So literally, like, what, maybe 3 weeks to a month ago, I started putting that on all my posts, where I just put Nashville Mommy's Influencer, and people been tapping into it, so I was like, all right, well, I see you, I'm gonna go ahead and put this on up here and keep going with it, and moving forward with it. It's just kind of shedding positive vibes, I guess, and encouraging moms to just continue to put their best foot forward.
And what do you think that means to you?
For me, as far as being an influencer?
Like a mommy influencer, because it's a need.
Yeah.
It's definitely a need.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, and even to that event that I had mentioned about that I had in January, that was proof alone that it was needed in terms of, again, being in the Nashville community and embracing motherhood. Ultimately, what it means to me is the mere fact that as moms, we cater to our children. We cater to our significant others, husbands, boyfriends, whatever, your entanglements, whatever you got going on. You're catering to everybody else, but you don't, rarely do you find us prioritizing self-care.
Yeah.
Or
it's
mom,
a need.
Yeah, or mompreneurship and owning our own businesses and things of that nature. So ultimately what that means is, you know, being an influencer and taking the necessary steps to get out there and motivate other moms is needed for me. When I'm doing that for somebody else and I see the results and them being able to say, hey, Sansi, I saw what you did. It pushed me and motivated me. It's like, okay, I did that for you. Now, the mere fact that you went out there and took what I did, what I poured into you to get to the next level, now I got to go and keep doing it. It's going to motivate me to keep going. So it's ultimately motivation before anything.
Yeah, I think mothers definitely need motivation, especially with the whole transitioning to a woman, to a mom. Mm-hmm. It's very deep immersion. When you first walked in, I was telling you about how I wanted to do like a mom anniversary. And my biggest thing is Black moms are literally, like I said earlier, it's the head of the household, and they are so powerful. Like when you first think of somebody's house, you think of the mom. Like when you was young, you didn't go to papa house, you went to your grandma house. You know, so I think we need to celebrate that.
Yeah, most definitely.
Definitely celebrate it. So
what's your ultimate goal?
Mom Lineals will be a household name.
Come on, say it.
It's gonna happen.
Manifest it.
I, in what, February of 2020, so a little over a year ago, it's funny because I'm sure y'all probably heard the name, Demi Lovato. she posted on her Twitter and, like 10 years ago that, you know, 10 years from now, I will sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. She did that last year. So by her doing that, now granted, 10 years ago, I wasn't watching her Twitter. You know what I'm saying? I liked her. She was on Disney and stuff like that. But the fact that that memory popped up for her to reshare or whatever the case may be after her completing that goal of hers, it actually motivated me. It was like, so literally the day after the Super Bowl, and I actually reshared it because, you know, Super Bowl obviously was, it popped up last month. The memory popped up last month on Facebook. And so I posted. I was like, you know what? If she can do it, I can too. So I pretty much put on there that, you know, I don't recall if I put 5, 10 years or what. But I know that I, for sure that I say one day I will be on the stage at the Essence Festival in front of a room full of minority women talking about motherhood and the ins and outs, the advantages. I don't want to say disadvantages because it's really not. It can be a struggle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's ultimately what my goal is to get to a place to where I'm connecting and being able to be paid to speak to a room full of people, full of moms or full of women in general, because you got women that want to be mothers. You got women, unfortunately, that have had miscarriages. Mm-hmm. Like, they are all a part of that culture, a part of that sisterhood. And that's my ultimate goal, is to be able to go to the Essence Festival and speak to a room full of mothers, just about all things motherhood, like I'm doing now, but just on a bigger scale.
The Essence Festival is so, like, great for black women. Because mm-hmm. I went 1 year, mm-hmm. and to see all those black people in one area, especially New Orleans, is definitely black as fuck. You'll get that right. But,
for sure.
Yeah, but I think it's just a joy to have. So to hear you say that, mm-hmm. I can definitely see it, and I believe it. Yeah, like, I definitely believe that.
I appreciate that. Yeah,
that's so awesome. How many times a week do you, like, do self-care-related activities for yourself?
So, a lot of people will probably think I'm foolish for saying this, but going to the gym for me is self-care. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you got people that want to go get their hair.
Good.
Right. Yeah, I mean, some people, they like, oh, that's strenuous, and oh, I don't want to do that. But, like, you know, a lot of people, they'll go get the massages, they'll go get the nails done, go get the hair done. And don't get me wrong, I do that too. But if I had to choose between going to go get my nails done and going to the gym, I'm going to the gym, period. Like, I'd rather go and, you know, work on something that's going to be long-term versus something that's going to be broken or messed up in 2 weeks. Like, this is where I'm at. So, I typically, to be completely honest, I go to the gym at least 5 to 6 days a week. I recently have created a schedule for myself, and I stick to it. My alarm goes off at 5:20. My son is dropped off at school, and before care, it's 6:30. And by 6:40, I'm right around the corner at the gym for at least an hour and a half.
Dedication.
So, yeah.
That's the biggest thing for me. Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, it just got to a place where it was like my body was naturally waking up early anyway to get him to school. So, why not capitalize on this time and get to the gym? I don't have to be at work till 9. Got time to shower and be good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, what does motherhood mean to you?
I would say for me, motherhood means sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, from the time that you feel that moment of morning sickness and you take that test, you are officially sacrificing your body, number one. And then, of course, when you have the baby, you're sacrificing time. You're sacrificing financially. It's just sacrifice. However, it's a positive sacrifice. At the end of the day, it's a blessing to have a child. I mean, let's just be honest and put it out there. Like I said, I am in a place where I'm okay with having those uncomfortable conversations. Like, everybody can't conceive. You know, some individuals have had miscarriages, and this is nothing against them because I still consider them moms. At the end of the day,
right.
You had a seed planted into you that could have, you know, potentially grown into something special. However, you know, yeah, it's still ultimately a blessing. So I would say motherhood for me is a combination of both a sacrifice but a blessing at the same time.
Yeah, it's definitely a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I think motherhood is being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I also believe that motherhood is so much, it's so empowering and divine.
Yeah.
It's like a feeling that I don't think enough words can actually define it. Mm-hmm. Is my biggest thing about motherhood.
Right.
But it's definitely sacrificing.
Yeah, and I will say, in addition to all of that, like, for me, I was actually kind of looking at some photos and pieces of artwork today and stuff like that, and one of the things that kind of just pointed out to me or stood out to me was a quote, and it was pretty much saying that, you know, the black woman is is mankind's incubator. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, this Mother Earth, like, us, the women, the people in general on this earth would not be here if it were not for a black woman. That's just hands down.
No, that's definitely true. I mean, mm-hmm. we can think about the woman body has been used for science for so long. If mm-hmm. we really want to, you know, speak on that.
Yeah.
I mean, black women were literally feeding their master children from their boobs
mm-hmm.
before they were feeding their children, which is so crazy to me because you was feeding them crap. But that's
right.
Totally different topic. But yeah, so, you know, the our body
mm-hmm.
is so divine
right.
in so many ways. So, you know, I always say mother is the science of creation, mm-hmm. and it definitely says that all the time. Speaking of motherhood, tell us about, you have a child. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, let us, give us a little rundown about being a boy mom.
Yes. So, number one, he thinks he's my father. yeah, I actually, like, I'm a, it's funny because I actually, I'm going to be completely transparent with y'all. Like, I went on a date, and he obviously didn't want me to go, but I went anyway. The guy dropped me off at home, and my son was obviously there. One of my friends was watching him for me or whatever. I get there, I walk in the door, and, you know, the guy, obviously, he was going to walk me up to the door or whatever. And rather than when I got ready to turn around and say bye, the door was already closed because my son closed the door and locked this man outside. So he is very protective, guys. He's very protective. But in general, I have always, like, even before having Elijah, I've always admired the bond between a mother and a son. And in addition to that, I know how I was when I was a young girl, and I prayed to God. I said, God, now that I know that I'm expecting, I'm asking for a boy, because I know how slick my mouth was when I was little, and I don't want to deal with me again. I do not want to deal with me. I'm not ready for it. Give me a boy first.
Yeah, I wanted a boy, too. I mean, I got two boys, but I definitely wanted a boy.
I wanted a boy. Because I wanted somebody, I wanted a man that I could actually mold.
Yeah,
to be that man that I would want.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like kind of weird, but I
want to
raise a good man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. And it takes a lot.
Man. Yeah, yeah. And it's like a quote that I actually reposted this. Like, I cannot. What does that quote say? It was pretty much saying that I'm raising my son to be a man that your daughter would not have to recover from. And yeah. I think that is so real. Like, that is so real. Like I said, I have always admired that bond between a mother and a son. And so when I found that I was expecting. Obviously, like I said, I prayed for a boy. It ended up being a boy. And my mom jokes to this day about our relationship because she's like, it's like a light switch. One minute we're mother and son, and the next minute we're brother and sister. Like, we literally, that's my broke best friend. Like, seriously.
But you also got to look at, like, the age that you had your child. Yeah. I think everyone in this room is growing up with their children.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, that's like a blessing within itself because we found out things about ourselves.
Yeah.
We had no idea.
Like, trauma. I'm literally learning trauma, childhood trauma through raising my children. Yeah. And it's like one of the things you have to step back and, like, look at yourself like, damn, you know, certain stuff is triggering and you don't see it until you get older. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing about raising a boy.
Yeah.
Or raising a child, period. Mm-hmm. When you go through being a mom, you're learning things about yourself and having them young. I would not promote it, but... Yeah,
but it was helpful.
But it's definitely helpful for me. It has gave me self-confidence.
Because one thing I will say about Clark, I have a funny story to say. So yesterday I was on the phone with his dad. He and his dad picked him up from school. And I'm telling Carter, like, oh, you know, you want to go to Target, ask your dad, whatever, right? And his dad's making jokes about, oh, I need to charge, I need to send you an invoice for extortion. And I'm like, no. So Carter says to his dad, Dad, you really need to listen to me. I said, I want to go to Target.
Oh, my God.
He loves Target?
He loves Target. The McDonald's.
You was buying my toy.
Listen, I don't want to talk about the $80
toy. The toys be cracking me up because I tell her I'm throwing the twins' toys away. She's like, I haven't got to the point. Baby, it goes to the trash, or it goes to Goodwill. The twins had some toys on the side of the wall, and they asked me what was going on. I said, I'm giving them away. That's what's going on. See, I'm letting you know this
you're
matter.
You're better than me. I haven't gave away any Carter's toys, but I say that story to say this. Carter acts just like me, and it's so interesting to see somebody just like you. Like, he gonna tell, I just couldn't stop laughing, like, what he said, Dad, you need to listen to me. That's me. Like,
Right.
You need to listen to me. I said that I want to go to Target. Take me to Target.
I love it. And he's so cute. It's something about that. So how do you balance working mom and Sancia?
That might take a little bit for me to answer.
Okay, you got time.
Are you still at the place where you was at?
Oh, no. So,
okay.
Rental car company that I was for. That adds on to everything we talked about. Your girl got laid off in the midst of the pandemic. I was one of those millions of Americans without a job, having to apply for unemployment, having to, like, go all the way back to the drawing board, and, start completely over. So, but for me, I'm no longer there. I was almost there for 5 years. I was almost there for 5 years. And then, honestly, like I said earlier, I hate that people have gotten sick and passed away in the midst of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. However, COVID helped to put a fire under my ass to push me to go ahead and do what I actually wanted to do. I learned a lot. I have nothing negative to say about the company that I was working for. Like, I built a lot of great relationships and everything. But it also taught me how to actually run a business too. Like, the person I was almost 5 years ago, completely night and day. So now, like I said, I'm now at a new company. However, being there, my goal is to learn property management and investment so that I can start renting out the townhouse that I bought, you know, a couple of years ago. So,
oh, you bought a townhouse?
Yeah, yeah. So I own a townhouse. And that's honestly, that's part of the reason what I had mentioned about being an influencer. I mean, what 26-year-olds do you know that are a single parent, working a full-time job, working out consistently, doing our best to eat correctly so that we don't gain what we're trying to get off after having a baby, and purchasing a house? Like,
so
I was
incredible.
Doing all of that, all in the midst of, you know, just trying to figure out being a mom, and like you said, growing up with my kids. So, yeah, I purchased a house 3 years ago, and I, after, you know, the pandemic kind of hit us or whatever, it just kind of had to go back to the drawing board. I started pushing them into my millennials, and I got to a place where I was like, okay, what's next? You know, how am I going to push my millennials to get to the next level? And throughout that 9 months of not working, it was just a mental, like, a wake-up call. Like, my millennials, that's my passion. But this new job that I'm doing now in property management, yes, it's a 9-to-5, but that's my side hustle. Like, that's where
look at
I'm,
it like that.
Yeah, I have to, like, and before the pandemic, I would have continued to look at what I was doing as my full-time job. Like, no, like, the 9-to-5 is the side hustle. I don't care how many hours a day you put into it. That is the side hustle to fuel whatever your passion is. Now, by all means, if your passion is to work for somebody else all your life and,
there's nothing
you know,
wrong with that.
Work, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, climbing that ladder, getting to the top, becoming a CEO, by all means, go for it. But I just got to a place where I had to realize that that's not for me. And being a CEO can be for me, but just, you know, but not working for someone else.
Corporate
in
America.
Exactly, exactly. So,
and some people don't want to be a CEO.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
It's a lot of work.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, most definitely. No, so, to, you know, round all of it up, no, I'm no longer at the previous job where I was at. I'm at a new job now. However, I have a new mentality walking into that new job. So, I'm more of a listener and paying attention to different energies. I had talked about walking away from my previous job plenty of times. But then COVID happened. It was like, okay, you've been talking about it. So now we need to walk.
Yeah.
So it forced me to have to do that. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah. COVID it's been a very timing. I think a lot of people went through transition where they learned a lot about themselves and what they want to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had time to sit still and not go anywhere. So
yeah.
I think it's, I'm so happy for you. I'm
yeah,
so happy to see
you.
This chapter open. And we're mom friends.
Yes, we are.
What are some advice you can give to moms wanting to start a business?
I would say the biggest piece of advice is find something that is a need for you and capitalize on it. And what I mean by that is, like you just mentioned, mom friends. So for example, after I had my son, I was one of the few people in my friend group that had kids. And it got to a place where it's like, okay, I wanted nothing wrong with my friends that don't have kids, but I want to be able to surround myself with other mothers. I want to be able to surround myself with mothers who are business owners and just kind of get comfortable in that space and learn the ins and outs through other people. And so for me, it just got to a point to where, again, I had to find something that I needed and put it in an atmosphere. And when other people start to be attracted to it, it's like it reveals that, hey, this is a need. So I just have to get creative. And that's why I started doing events, because when I do events, it's going to bring out what I want, other mommies. So,
yeah.
I mean, I have to get out to network, obviously. But ultimately, my main thing that I can say again in terms of the best piece of advice is find something that's a need for you and then capitalize on it, because you never really know who else out there needs exactly what you need.
All right. So I'm glad that you've been saying that because what is somewhere we can find? Where can everyone find you?
Yes. So I, a couple of places actually. As far as like Instagram, I have I have the business page, which is MomLennials. So it's @_MomLennials_. And then of course my personal page, which is @SanciaNoel. And then on Facebook,
follow me back.
Yeah. Okay.
I followed you.
Okay. I don't follow you. I'm sorry. Listen.
Look, I'm not attacking you, but I'm like, follow me back. Because I usually give people 48 hours to follow me back. If you don't follow me, I'm unfollowing your ass.
It is a protocol.
I got you. I'm going to follow you back before I leave today. And then, of course, on Facebook, obviously there's my personal page, but I also have the MomLennials group on Facebook. So, yeah, by all means, feel free to join. That's where all the details for all events and everything are posted and all of that. So, yeah, those are the main two accounts where I'm really active is Facebook and Instagram.
I hate Facebook, but...
See, listen.
I'm trying to be more active on Twitter, because Twitter, you can start a conversation.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You can with Instagram.
I ain't gonna lie, I get on Twitter maybe like once or twice a month.
Twitter have its own thing.
Yeah, and I will say as far as like Facebook, I'm gonna be honest, like, I like being on Instagram more. However, when it comes to more of the seasoned mamas, it's not necessarily in our generation. That's where they are.
They are. You are.
And when I tell you, my goal as of right now, something I'm working on right now, is trying to turn MomLennials into a nonprofit. And, I mean, you gotta go where the support is, whether that be verbally, whether it be physically or financially. And Facebook is where, just being completely honest, that's where I have a lot of individuals that are not necessarily millennial mothers, but they're like, hey, I see what you're doing. I want to invest. Or I want to come and volunteer at an event. Like, and when I say invest, it's not always financial, people. Yeah. Like, I don't want nobody thinking, oh, she's just doing this for the money. No, this is something I'm passionate about. I enjoy doing an event. And at the end of the day, when I do those events, the best part about it is the feedback after the event. Right. Oh, that was great. Oh, when is the next one? I missed it, but I want to come. You know, I love what we talked about. That's what, like, literally waking up the next morning after every event that I've done and kind of reflecting on people posting and like giving me their feedback and stuff like that, I'm like, damn, I did it again. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, God, for putting this vision in front of me and allowing me to kind of walk down this path to create this plan to motivate people and then them be able to go out and be, you know, results driven and accomplish those goals and then to continue to motivate me is literally a ripple effect. It's going to continue to go back and forth.
You really, something that I'm big on and what I'm, was telling my friend Jordan that I'm figure out my purpose in life, mm-hmm. which some people don't figure out until later in life. Mm-hmm. My purpose in life that I believe is to build a community of women. Mm-hmm. No matter if it's a mom, a sisterhood, whatever, like whatever platform that I have put out, it was to build a community. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're doing is building a community of strong moms, and not just moms, because we don't want to leave the unmoms out, but building a sisterhood is something that is incredible, and I'm going to let Jasmine introduce herself and tell us one thing before we go about Working Women of Nashville.
Yes.
Hey, y'all. I'm late.
She's on color people time.
But I am here. Yes, I'm Miss Jazz. I feel like I haven't done it in so long. We've been gone. But, yes, Working Women of Nashville, I'm kind of like getting into the same things, like you were saying, creating events for women. I've been trying to do this for years, and I kind of took a break because it got very discouraging after a while. Yep. So then when the pandemic hit, I just said, I'll F it. You know what I'm saying? And so now I'm finally, y'all, and I'm so excited that I'm here today, but I'm finally about to drop the clothing line. We're doing the activewear line, Working Women. Mm-hmm. It's about to drop in the next couple weeks. I'm really excited about that. So if you haven't already, follow us at workingwomen.nashville on Instagram. We do have a Facebook page, but I am not as active on Facebook. But like you said, Facebook, it seems like that's where more of the support is. More like, and I think it's because Facebook is more like familiar. It's more like people you actually know.
People,
you know,
it is more personal.
And then, if you end up connecting with somebody that you don't know, it's because somebody you know can be like, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, Instagram is just full of strangers. But
it is.
It is. That's true. You said it's Working. What is that again?
Workingwomen.nashville on Instagram.
I went to one of her events right after I had the twins, and I want to just, before we go, I want to talk about discouragement, because that was one of the reasons why I ended the Milk Association.
I loved it, Robin. You remember how much I loved it before I was even a mom? I used to just be commenting on shit like, I'm a future MILF, like, yeah. And it was mainly, I've been thinking about that because I wanted to tell you, and I'm going to let you finish, but it was mainly because I knew I didn't want to be a mom at that time, but I knew that my whole my outlook on being a young black mom, it was, I had a negative connotation. And so that's one reason I loved your platform, because I knew black moms do need a safe space, because the world kind of does look at you like, if you're a black mom in your 20s, especially if you're a single mom,
unwed
mom,
you kind
of looked at like you the one with the A, what they call it, the one with the
scarlet letter.
Yes,
I love that book.
Yeah.
EVA. I love that book. Oh my God, I love that
book. So you kind of looked at it like that. And so I always kind of knew that, like, even though I'm not a mom right now, I think it's important that young moms have that space. And so I love the Milk Association so
Thank
much.
You. Yeah. It was one of them things where more of my support came from unmoms. Mm-hmm. So most of the people who came to my events knew me personally.
Yeah.
Like, well, not knew me personally, but they didn't know me personally. But the people who supported me the most were unmoms, because like you said, unmoms is definitely not a word.
We're not motherless.
The motherless.
Childless.
Yes.
But the childless people is the people who supported me most. But my biggest thing was I wanted a platform to give to moms, because I'm reading Cannabis Doula, and in the book she said that black mothers never get told congratulations, unwed black mothers. And like you said, being young is such, I had so much negativity when I got pregnant with the twins, that was the whole reason why I did it. But the reason why I think when I ended it, I had to end it for myself. Mm-hmm. And that's when I put more of my focus into mommy sorrow. Because Mommy RS is for the non-traditional way of being a mom. Mm-hmm. And it's no perfect way to become a mother.
Right.
It's no, you're never going to be ready. I don't care what anybody say. You can read as many books as you want to. You're never fully going to be ready. Mm-hmm. And Mommy RS is for, you know, the everyday mom. Mm-hmm. And everyday mom looks totally different.
Right.
In every last one of us. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. On that note, we're going to end the show. Thank you for being part of season 2.
Oh, yes.
We're going to definitely do an event. And we're definitely, I want you guys to make sure, if you're in Nashville, to support her. Also, if you're not in Nashville, you know, follow the page. And also,
come to an event.
Come to an event. Like, fly down here.
Come on. I'm with it. Like, the last event
we're
going to
do a conference.
We're
going to manifest a conference one day that you will come to.
Most definitely.
So, thank you for being here. And... Jasmine, you want to say anything?
I'm glad we're back for season 2. And thank you for being here. I'm glad I was able to meet you. I'm glad I was able to meet you. I'm excited. What kind of wine is this?
Josh, you want some?
I do.